sound doctrine. All of these things are more available today than ever before in the history of the world. Yet often we find decay within the Church of Christ. Isaiah 58 is a passage that brings you and I face to face with a sobering reality. It is, and this is the message that we have in verse 1 and verse 2. It is possible to be religious, to be deeply religious, to attend the house of God, to say that you are a Christian, to read the scriptures regularly, and yet to be far from God.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. We're turning to Isaiah chapter 58, and the Word of God says there in verse 1, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice, they take delight in approaching to God."
Dear congregation, as we come to the Word of God today, we look at the age in which we live. And that age, that environment in which we abide, could be rightly described as being filled with noise, religious noise. There is lots of religion within society. We can think of many religions. We can think of the Christian religion and the Christian faith. There are many churches. There are many services, services that nowadays are online and accessible. There are Christian books that are available. You can go on to the internet and religious websites and all sorts of blogs and religious societies and literature that is available is found online. There is much talk regarding Christianity. There is much information about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the midst of all of this, we must ask ourselves a very serious and a very important question. Is God pleased? Is He pleased that we are truly worshiping Him in spirit and in truth? Or have we grown satisfied with outward forms that cover inward decay? We can look at all the means that we've mentioned, and we can say that nowadays that there is more information available about Christianity. There is more information and truth and doctrine and preaching available about the Christian faith. Sound biblical teaching, sound doctrine. All of these things are more available today than ever before in the history of the world. Yet often we find decay within the Church of Christ. Isaiah 58 is a passage that brings you and I face to face with a sobering reality. It is, and this is the message that we have in verse 1 and verse 2, it is possible to be religious, to be deeply religious, to attend the house of God, to say that you are a Christian, to read the scriptures regularly, and yet to be far from God, to not have that right relationship with the God of heaven. This chapter is not addressed to those in paganism or those who do not believe in God. It is a divine rebuke that has been given to the people of God. Those who claim that they belong to Christ, but whose hearts are far from God. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, there is a verse that is often upon our hearts and our minds as we come to the table of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Let a man examine himself. This is something that we often say. This is something that is biblical. And of course, biblical truth is sufficient truth. It is truth that must be repeated. And time again, we will repeat those words. We are to examine ourselves. We are not to come coldly to the table of the Lord. We're not to come coldly to religious worship. We're to prepare our hearts to receive the bounty of God and to receive His table and the grace that comes from that to us. And we are to examine ourselves. Are we truly believers? Are we truly those who are rejoicing in Christ? Dear believer, are you one who is walking with God, walking in His ways, in His commandments? Oh, this table is a time for us to examine ourselves. And Isaiah 58 is a chapter in which the people of God are called to examine themselves. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 58 has a commission or charge renewed to reprove the sinners that are found within the house of Jacob. In verse 21 of Isaiah 57, we read, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And how true that is. The wicked are not at peace. There is no peace to those who are in their sins. There is no peace to those who are far from God, living outside His commandments and outside of His gospel. And the people of God are exhorted in chapter 58 to look at themselves. Yes, they are going through the motions. They are doing this and that, and they are worshiping. They are seeking God daily. There's even a delight that is said here to know the ways of God. There's a nation that is doing righteousness. They delight in approaching to God, but yet there is to be this lifting up of the voice of the prophet like a trumpet to show the people their transgressions. And dear believer, a mistake that you and I can make is this, that we are a Christian and therefore we are right with God because we professed upon Christ, because we come to the house of God and we look at the externals of religion. We look at the externals of our faith. The externals of our faith are important. Coming to the house of God is important. Reading the Word of God is important. Praying is important. But God looks not on the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. And He sees your heart today. And He sees if you truly love Him, if you truly desire to be here with Him. And He sees whether or not you fit the description here in verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 58. He knows if you're hypocritical in your ways. And this is what is being said by the Lord here in Isaiah 58. There are those who are keeping up religious performances. There are those who are being hypocrites. They, on one hand, are showing who they are and what they are. They belong to God. The externals are there, but the internal, the nature of the heart, does not support that which is being seen. Is that true of you today? That the nature of your heart does not support that external image that you are setting forth. It does not support that external image that you are setting forth in your life. The Word of God says, verse 1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Spurgeon powerfully said when he preached on this passage, well, I try to draw a few distinctions, not occupying too much of your time upon any one of them, I invite every person here to examine himself whether he be in the faith. I invite every hearer to put himself into the crucible to see what is his true condition in the sight of God. Never mind your neighbor. How important that is. Oh, if we were to examine our neighbor, how easy that would be. Spurgeon says, never mind your neighbor, let him use his own ears for himself. And you use your own ears for yourself. Better still, let every one of us go to the Lord with the psalmist prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Is that not the approach that we are to take whenever we hear the word of God? We come today to consider hollow religion. Hollow religion. We come to consider a rebuke from Scripture regarding hypocrisy, and how are we to react to that as the people of God? How are we to react to that as a sinner if we are masquerading as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? We're not to shut our ears. We're not to say, well, this sermon is not for me. It's maybe for my neighbor. It's for somebody else. We're to listen to God's word. We're to listen to God's truth. We're to examine ourselves. And dear congregation, as we come to the preaching of God's truth, anytime we come to the preaching of God's truth, should we not ask the question, is this a message for me? Oh, I can be so easy to set it aside. Is it a message for me? Is it possible? Is it just possible that the arrogant pride within my heart is deceiving me into thinking that this has nothing to do with me? When in reality, this is a message I need to hear from God. Is there something I need to do with this text? Is there something I need to do with this message? Is there something here that God has said to my soul? Just like he said to those in the house of Jacob, their sins are to be shown forth by the prophet. Is the Lord speaking to me as he spoke to the house of Jacob? And how am I to react to that? Well, you're to listen. You're to obey. You're to hearken. You're to do the word of God. Oh, if every believer did the word of God, practiced it, took away the message, took away the text, and said, I'm going to live this out. How different your life would be, how different the church of Christ would be. We considered the sufficiency of Scripture this morning during the adult Sunday school. What a great subject that is. And there was a thought that we brought regarding the Word of God, because it is sufficient, it's enough for us, God has inspired it. Therefore, Scripture should be attractive to us. We should desire it because it is filled with sufficiency. We don't need to have fancy meetings. We don't need to have meetings that have exciting speakers and exciting music. Why? Because the Word of God is sufficient for His people. And that should be motivation enough to come and to spend time in the house of God. When we think of the sufficiency of Scripture is enough for you and I. We need it. We need to hearken to it to change our ways. And so I want us to deal with the subject this morning as we come to the table of the Lord, hollow religion. Hollow religion, thinking of what Spurgeon said, repeating the psalmist, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me away from that. Lead me in the way everlasting. That should be our response. And firstly, I want you to see we can reject the divine command to expose sin. We can reject the divine command to expose sin. What does the hypocrite do? They do not want sin exposed. They do not want their sin exposed. And what do many preachers do? They reject the divine command to expose sin. And this passage opens with that very clear command to the prophet Isaiah. He is told to cry aloud. He's told to lift up his voice like a trumpet. I'm struggling with my voice. I'm doing the best I can to sound like a trumpet. But that's what Isaiah was told to do. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. What is a trumpet? It's a loud instrument. If someone came behind you in this service, they put the trumpet in your ear and they blew on it, you're going to notice that. You're going to notice the noise. If there's a trumpet outside the walls or just at the door, you're going to hear it. It's a loud instrument. It's something that is loud. And this is what the Lord is saying. The prophet is to lift up his voice like a trumpet. It's to be raised up. It's to draw attention. And he's being told by God, the God of heaven, lift up your voice so that you're heard. Don't take the message of God and speak quietly. And speak so nobody hears. Sound it aloud like the trumpet. Speak with authority. Speak that those that are else were engaged hear and understand. God's word is to come with authority. What are we to do? It's to come like a trumpet that gets our attention, but the trumpet as well. What is the trumpet? It's designed to startle and awaken. It was used as a warning when the enemy attacked or there was danger. The trumpet sounded. It was an alarm, the sound of a trumpet. And God is telling Isaiah, lift up thy voice like the sound of an alarm. There's an urgency here. There's a need to put things right. And that is to be lifted up. A trumpet blast cuts through the silence. It demands attention. It's a public sound meant to stir us into a state of being alert. We are to listen to the sound of God's trumpet. The preacher is to sound aloud God's trumpet through his word. But this divine command can be rejected by the preacher. Is that not what we see today? Instead of standing up and rebuking sin, the preacher, the church, embrace such sin. It all focuses upon a rejection of the word of God, man's ideas, living with the thoughts of man predominant within the mind and within the heart. And there is hypocrisy. Naming the name of Christ, saying you belong to Christ. But yet the great truths of Scripture are denied, that they are set aside. God has said marriage is between one man and one woman. God has said this and that in His Word. Great commands and directions for mankind. And there are preachers and there are churches that have said no. We're not lifting our voice like a trumpet. We're not standing against this. Society is supporting this. And we are going to follow society. We are going to follow sinful society. Instead of rebuking sin. Sin is often not rebuked out of fear. Out of fear. Well, I know of situations in more liberal churches and denominations. I've heard testimonies over the years about men who have complained about churches, their ministers not preaching the gospel of Christ, not crying aloud like a trumpet. And what has happened? There has been a rebuke of those who have rebuked the preacher for not fulfilling his duty. One of the early stories in the foundation of our denomination in Northern Ireland, it was about an office bearer in one of the Presbyterian churches. And he was not happy with the state of affairs within the congregation, the corruption, the lack of gospel preaching. And the pastor and the elder, one of the other elders, they came up to the house to speak to this man. And you might think, I think I've said this before, well, they sat down in his living room. They had a nice cup of tea and a cookie or biscuit, as they would say, back in the United Kingdom. And they discussed the matters, and they prayed together, and they read the Word of God together, and they tried to come to a biblical understanding of the problem. No, they didn't. The pastor rolled up his sleeves, and he beat up the man who was not happy at the state of affairs in the church. He later went on to be a founding elder in one of the early Free Presbyterian congregations. That's how that matter was resolved. That's history. That's fact. There was a rejection of God's word. There was a rejection of rebuke. There was no duty, godly duty, being carried out by the pastor. We're not even to do that to those who are in error, never mind those who promote the truth. A rejection of the divine command to expose sin. And what does that do? That leads to hypocrisy. That leads to an excusing of sin. That leads to people and congregations and believers not being made aware of sin. And yes, it is true, there are sins that we can commit, and we do not think that they are sin. We've never been convicted of those things. We don't understand that what we are doing is sin, because sin is never preached and sin is never dealt with. Because sin offends. Sin offends. Oh, how many have not preached on sin because they don't want to offend the people in the congregation. Dear believer, if you desire to be a biblical and godly Christian, if you desire to be part of a church that is a biblical church and a God-honoring church, this is something you must understand. There will be rebukes of sin. There has to be. Sin has to be exposed. The man of God, the preacher of the gospel of Christ, is to cry aloud, to spare not, to lift up the voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. This is something we can expect. This is how the Word of God operates. It points out our sin. This is how the ministry of the Word of God operates. It points out sin and sets forth the truth of the gospel in Christ. And we are reminded of this because in verse 1, God sees sin in his people in the house of Jacob and is displeased with it. And they are not willing to see their own sins. They think all is okay. They seek God daily. Those externals are in place. And therefore, there has been a rejecting of this divine command. The preacher has a mandate to do so. He's not to sit in the corner and whisper. He's to blast like a trumpet. Why? Because there's a danger. The danger of sin. If we understand what sin is, and we understand the danger of sin, there is a need to sound the alarm. For you.
Spurgeon takes us today to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. The Lamb is the light thereof. Quietly contemplate the Lamb as the light of heaven. Light in Scripture is the emblem of joy. The joy of the saints in heaven is comprised in this. Jesus chose us, loved us, bought us, cleansed us, robed us, kept us, glorified us. We are here entirely through the Lord Jesus. Each one of these thoughts shall be to them like a cluster of the grapes of Eschol. Light is also the cause of beauty. Not of beauty is left when light is gone. Without light no radiance flashes from the sapphire, no peaceful ray proceedeth from the pearl, and thus all the beauty of the saints above comes from Jesus. As planets they reflect the light of the Sun of Righteousness. They live as beams proceeding from the central orb. If he withdrew, they must die. If his glory were veiled, their glory must expire. Light is also the emblem of knowledge. In heaven our knowledge will be perfect, but the Lord Jesus himself will be the fountain of it. Dark providences, never understood before, will then be clearly seen, and all that puzzles us now will become plain to us in the light of the Lamb. Oh, what unfoldings there will be, and what glory in awe of the God of love! Light also means manifestation. Light manifests. In this world it doth not yet appear what we shall be. God's people are a hidden people. But when Christ receives his people into heaven, he will touch them with the wand of his own love, and change them into the image of his manifested glory. They were poor and wretched, but what a transformation! They were stained with sin, but one touch of his finger, and they are as bright as the sun, and clear as crystal. Oh, what a manifestation! All this proceeds from the exalted Lamb. Whatever there may be of splendor, Jesus shall be the center and soul of it all. Oh, to be present and to see him in his own light, the King of kings and Lord of lords. We come to the end of Let the Bible Speak today. Thank you for joining with us, and we do appreciate you tuning in to hear the ministry of God's word. We trust the Lord will bless you and that you'll join us again on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.